Rolling here. Sorry.
Speed marker.
We can't. We're interrupting. We're interrupting actual technical
real
work now.
Real.
We should shut up.
Yep.
Oh, we're like good.
We're good.
Yeah, you can start it whenever.
Oh, sweet. Okay. You want to clap? We don't need to.
Oh, shut up.
You can do that, but I'll let you know. This is the wide cam, so both y'all are in here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I make like a point, like look at that camera, it's not, there's really no point in me doing that.
No, you can.
Just do that.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. All right.
We're live switching. So.
Great.
Great.
Can you make that camera like super zoomed in on Ethan's mouth so that people really get the full experience? We're trying to do an ASMR thing now. We hear that that's in. It's hip. Yeah.
We're just a little few years late. The arbitrage is closed.
The arbitrage is closed on ASMR.
The A in ASMR stands
Dude,
for
I saw an ASMR video of a girl just eating a bar of deodorant. Just stick a deodorant.
Dude.
Yeah, it was like,
that's crazy.
That was the first ASMR video I ever saw, and I said, this isn't for me. This isn't for me. Imagine.
Y'all start whenever and just, you know, mention YCB
conference.
Yep.
100%.
Okay.
You got it. Are you ready to start?
That was me starting.
Okay.
That was my starting story.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast coming at you live from the YCP in Dallas.
At this moment, I'm Patrick.
and I'm Ethan, and I'm in the FIO booth.
Oh, yeah. FIO booth, sponsored by FIO.
If you can't, we got this right here. If you didn't know, we actually didn't talk about this on the podcast at all.
Which is very mean to our friend Will. I'm so sorry.
This is funny. But we'll talk about it after the fact. But we're here. Patrick and I are together in Dallas. So if you're listening on audio, check out the video because check this out. I'm touching Patrick.
Indeed. Yeah. And we're both business casual.
Although I have some questions. One of the things I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I've been pretending to like your jacket this whole weekend.
That's incorrect. Everyone has got. See, I would believe you if I didn't get so many compliments on this jacket.
I just have a question. What is it made out of?
I'm not sure.
It looks shiny enough to be leather.
Yeah,
but then when I touch it, it's got sort of a felt.
Is that suede?
Suede?
Is it suede? It looks like it's suede.
Blue suede shoes.
You're not allowed to dislike it because it was very expensive.
Nobody has complimented my jacket, which means that maybe I didn't make enough of a statement or I look too much,
man,
like a
I got a compliment
white boy
in the airport, deplaning from the plane. I got a compliment in the elevator the other day.
You're like that episode of Ned's Declassified where Cookie gets the big puffy jacket. And you have to cut him out of it with a chainsaw.
I like this jacket so much, I wore it on the flight the whole time.
I've never in my life worn a piece of overcoating on a plane.
Yeah.
I'll wear like a sweatshirt, but then
sure.
You get hot because you're in that tube with all those people.
I was fine. I was so comfortable. This jacket is so comfy. It's a perfect Florida jacket. It's very light. It's breezy. I got
but
it from
we're in Texas.
Yeah. Texas is basically Florida.
Yeah.
We'll take it one day.
Yeah. I've been having a lot of problems being here.
Yeah.
I like being at the Young Catholic Professionals Conference in Dallas, Texas.
Indeed.
But I think being here has made me realize that I lack a certain pizzazz in my day-to-day.
What it? Oh, you like professionalism? Like you're not dressed as fancy?
No, it has nothing to do with the dress, although we will circle back to your horrendous choice to wear a dead cow.
Why are you lying to me on this podcast?
But I think
everyone likes my outfit.
I've been telling so many people, everyone likes your outfit. I've been talking to so many people, and everyone keeps saying, oh, Ethan, you're really funny, which just pisses me off. It makes me so mad.
Why does it make you so mad?
Because if I'm funny, then I should get paid to be funny. And right now, I get paid to do marketing emails.
That's, yeah.
And that makes me angry because it feels like I have wasted potential.
I feel like there are a lot of people that are funny that don't get paid to be funny.
Name one.
You,
damn.
Besides you.
That sucks.
Dude, is that what you mean? Me,
yeah.
I guess, also,
yeah.
Same boat.
Yeah.
And until recently, our good friend James.
He that's true.
You know, now
that's
he
true.
Is, though, so that's good for him. But yeah, people are funny. Like, they're more conversationally funny, you
right.
know?
It just made me realize that maybe, Emma, don't listen to this part, but maybe I quit my job
mm-hmm.
and I just become a comedy, full-time comedy.
I think there's no downside to that.
At all?
as someone who would not have to sacrifice in any way and would only benefit from you doing that, I think you should do it.
Thanks, man.
You got it.
It means a lot to me.
I'm very supportive when my interests are being aligned with yours.
Quebin.
Yep.
Best part, worst part. So far.
Of the conference?
Of the conference, yes.
I mean, I haven't really had a worse part.
Really?
No, it's been good.
There's been lots of moments where we have not been together.
Yeah, those are the best parts. I'm sorry. That's a joke.
That's really mean.
I'm kidding.
You have no worst parts.
No, I haven't had a bad thing happen today.
Nothing, even on your travels? No, this whole time you've not had anything bad.
Nope. Travel was smooth. No delays. Got here on time.
What was the best part?
Got enough sleep. I've really liked just networking and meeting people. It's a very boring thing to say.
Man.
I just like meeting people.
Yeah. You're like a millennial disguised as a Gen Z.
It's true.
My favorite part was the networking. What is it? What are you, a cop?
My favorite part was I just like meeting people.
Yeah.
It's always fun. You know, you make new friends.
Have you made new friends or you have new business contacts?
No,
are you going to hang out with any of these people in your life?
This is the exception. I do not consider those two things to be different. Business contacts are friends and friends are business contacts.
How many? No.
I don't know which one of those two are worse,
actually. How many people from your business life do you grab a beer with on the weekend?
Well, all of my coworkers are remote, so... Zero.
You're just making excuses now.
No. You're in my business life and you're my friend.
But we were business partners before we were friends. So
yeah.
What does that mean?
That proves my point.
That's fine. My best part so far has been spending time with you.
Thank you.
I was really hoping you were going to say that about me.
I thought that was self-evident.
No, it's not, because you said it was networking. We were in each other's weddings. We see each other, but thrice a year.
That's fair.
And you say the best part is getting a business card?
Sorry.
From a guy that runs a website?
We all run websites.
You're making me mad now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. My best part has been hanging out with you because you're one of the only people in my whole life.
Mm.
Emma is immune. She's taken the Ethan vaccine, if you will, by getting married to me.
Yeah.
She's inoculated against my particular brand.
The Bill Gates chip has been placed.
It's not 5G, it's 5E.
It's 5E.
And it's in her brain, and it's preventing her from laughing at my jokes.
Yeah.
And this makes me really sad.
I know.
But when I'm with you, we're like sharing a room.
Oh, yeah.
We're sharing a bathroom, mm-hmm. somewhat like me and my wife.
Yep.
And then as I'm going about my getting ready for bed last night, I'm like cracking jokes, and I'm getting laughter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, this is so different.
I'm setting up, you're knocking down, you're setting up, I'm knocking down. It's great.
Normally when I go to bed in my home, it's like, see you in the morning.
I'm cracking jokes, and I'm laughing.
Yeah.
I have the same problem.
You do? Is Phoebe, does she have 5P in her brain that prevents her from laughing at your jokes?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. And if I get a laugh out of her, it's like incredible. It must have been a really good joke. And then I go and I tweet it. Although sometimes I say a joke, and she's like, I don't find that very funny. And then I go and tweet it, and it just does numbers. It's like so good.
He's like an anti-detector.
Yeah, it's like, that's how I know it's going to work.
Yeah. So my best part is I've enjoyed being around you.
Yes.
I've enjoyed hanging
out. That is the best part.
And spending time. And my worst part was when I ate a powdered donut earlier and I got it on my jacket.
Yeah, that was a mistake. They had powdered donuts.
I didn't think it would...
You didn't think the powder would come off the donut? You've never had a powdered donut before?
All right. Have you seen those Mythbusters episodes where they track someone's sneeze?
And it just goes, gross. Yeah.
That happened with the powdered sugar, and I didn't expect it.
Yeah, that happens.
It made me sad.
Yeah, a friend of mine came up to me, and he was like, "Oh, I'm doing this job, but I'm really looking for another job." And I was like, "Oh, I just met someone who is hiring for that kind of position. Why don't you clean off all of the powdered donut that's all over you? I'll go introduce you." And he's like, "Oh, really?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, it's everywhere."
We need to have like a pre-conference before the conference where we can shake down all the young Catholic men that are poorly dressed and ill-prepared to do marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And or to market themselves, and then we send them into this conference.
Indeed.
You know?
You're young, you're Catholic, not yet professional. Let's work on that.
Please.
I've been making that joke all day, baby. It's been great.
It's not been great.
I think this is the issue that I ran into when I was thinking about, you know, packing for the conference.
Yeah.
When I'm dressed like this, I am not in podcast mode.
No. You're in business mode.
I'm in business mode.
100%.
And so this jacket, when I turn on this jacket, it's like kryptonite. When I put on this jacket, I turn into business Pat.
I think we both lose a sense of ourselves because this morning we were looking to get breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah.
And we went on a journey. So I don't know if...
We got to talk about the 5K.
We have to talk about this.
We saved the story for this.
We did. So this morning... So first of all, there was a robbery that took place at the Omni Hotel. And it was called $15 breakfast plus sales tax plus service charge.
Service charge. It's like
insane. I know we're in the Omni right now, and someone who works for the Omni can probably hear me, but that's crazy.
That's
if
insane.
If anyone is here. So
the service charge is probably like $5.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. You know? For like a warmed up taco and an apple.
Oh, yeah.
It was not worth it.
It's all margin, baby.
It's all margin. So we went across the street, but in between the hotel and the breakfast shop that was across the way.
Was a full-on 5K.
It was a 5K, a 5,000K.
Those people running 5,000 miles.
And it was all these people. They're all dressed up. And some guy, I presume it was Deion Sanders or someone, was like on the microphone being like, "Welcome to the Dallas Draft Day 5K.
Draft
Day." Yeah. And he was screaming into the microphone. And we were here, and there were runners, and they were eyeing us suspiciously because we were
wearing business casual.
They thought it was like, is this some kind of YouTube thing where I ran a 5K in business casual? Like, they were looking at us like we were making a mockery.
Of their craft.
Of their sport.
Of their going fast.
But we were not making mockery. We were just like, I need a brekkie sandwich.
Which was what it was called, by the way.
So we go across, and there's, on one side of the road, you need to understand this, there's a gate or like a barrier that goes to here and then stops in a sea of people. So presumably on the other side, the gate also stops here. So we walk across, and we try to get to the other side, and we are navigating our way through the people, and we find the gate.
And we're stuck.
And he's like counting down, like the 5K about to begin. Everybody, fastest runners at the front, get in position. And so we are like stuck in a herd of people that are all so excited to run as far as they've ever run in their life.
Yeah.
And we're just desperate to get brekkie. And so we're like clawing our way past people, young and old. I'm pushing kids over to like try and get out before we get like the Lion King. We were going to be like
we were going to be trampled.
We were going to get like trampled Mufasa. Like Mufasa and the wildebeests.
Yeah.
And the wildebeests were Dallas residents. That's not
Frisco, but yeah.
Frisco, that's true.
We're in Frisco.
It's not an indictment of the weight or size of people that live in Frisco.
But, you know, everything's bigger in Texas.
So. But it also could be. So we're trying to find, and so eventually we had to, in front of the fire chief, had to like just move a barricade out of the way and just say, sorry, we really need breakfast sandwiches.
We're very clearly not supposed to be
and then
in
we
this
ran,
5K.
And then we ran away, and as soon as we got into the store, the race started. So we were about
we were
about 15 seconds away from just having to run the 5K.
I was like, we'll get back to the conference eventually. We're just stuck in this race.
We'll get back when we can.
It was what an antic, you know?
It was
what
close. An antic. It felt like a Seinfeld episode.
Kramer, oh yeah, I ran the 5K.
I ran the 5K. He actually does that. He does the AIDS walk.
Remember
that? Yeah.
No, I didn't remember. But
we've met a variety of characters. We met those guys from Tampa. If he's here, I apologize, but I met a guy from Tampa that sells Bitcoin ATMs.
That was awesome.
And that really...
you were like, you could tell he was like, he was not happy that you were kind of dumping on his thing. But you were like,
you know what ATM is for, Patrick?
Do you put Bitcoin in the ATM?
You can't hold a Bitcoin, so why do you need an ATM? He was like, no, it's like for when you need Bitcoin and you have cash. I'm like, no one ever needs Bitcoin.
When is the use case?
Yeah, it's like, I never need Bitcoin so bad that I need to pay a 2% service fee to get Bitcoin.
To get Bitcoin,
and he's like, you guys don't understand. What if you don't have a bank account? And he like winked at me, and I'm like, oh, so you're giving criminals access to right-wing dark money to fund child sex slavery. And you're putting that in my gas station. I got to go to Love's to get a snack. And I got to face the fact that there's darkness in this world because you put a Bitcoin ATM in the Loves.
Like, I was under the impression that it was for crime, obviously, clearly. Yeah. Like, you have a bunch of money and you need to put it into digital things so that you can buy digital things. I get it. You got to launder it through Bitcoin. Fine, I understand. Right. Small business,
just launder,
I understand.
Launder money like the rest of us. Go to Windstar, put $10,000 in, take it out. That's how the rest of us do it. We don't need to use a Bitcoin ATM.
But then he was telling me how there's a bunch of federal regulations around the ATM. Like, you can't deposit more than $800 total without giving your phone number.
How?
And then you can't deposit more than $10,000 with them flagging you. And I'm like, then what's the point of the ATM?
How many children,
that's basically a bank account.
How many children can you buy with $800 of Bitcoin?
I don't like this conversation.
I'm just saying, if you are aiming it at like illegal people that are trying to do illegal things, $800 of drugs, that's a week.
That's especially if you're,
I guess that's why it's the ATM, so you can keep coming back.
Keep coming back.
You know?
Yeah. Apparently it was like, you can't deposit more than $800 total. Maybe they track it based on what wallet you're depositing it in. I don't know how Bitcoin works. I barely know how actual money works.
It's also crazy that you're like, it's my Bitcoin wallet and it's totally secured. It's on the blockchain. And then you just go to an ATM and you just punch in your information as if the ATM can't just like keep that
information,
send it to the government.
Yeah.
Bitcoin guys, man. So I like that guy. I had a good time talking to him, but I got a problem with that business model.
It doesn't seem like something that's going to last.
Yeah.
But they said that about Bitcoin too, and look where it is now. Anyway.
Yeah. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, have you gone a lot of places without me today?
That's true. I get very antsy and
yeah.
I move and yeah. I talk to a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
It's not really much to report.
You don't have any stories?
Worthy. No, not
stories?
Really.
Man.
No, it's again, like I said, it's like I got business contacts that are now my best friends.
I did. Can I tell you how I stole a lunch from the Omni today?
Yes, please. That's funnier.
Okay. Don't tell anybody this. But I went and I grabbed, unbeknownst to me,
mm-hmm.
a vegetarian meal.
Yeah.
Because it was on the table. They put the vegetarian meals at the front as if that's the one that everyone wants, which is they should put the vegetarian meals in the back by the toilets, in my opinion. So they're there and there's just this lady that's like taking tickets and there's no signage. Mm. Anywhere. And I'm not going to open up the box and look, so I just grab the box. I take it back and I sit down. I open it up. It's this little wrap. I'm like, oh, great. They have little wraps.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might be a sandwich, but it's a little wrap. I could eat a wrap, you know? Why are you laughing?
I'm just keep going.
Okay. And I eat and I like smell it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of a cool little flavor. I don't know what it is. And I bite into it. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever had.
Vegetables.
It was like,
oh, no.
It was like mushrooms drenched in some type of oil. Not like food
but not
oil.
Cooked.
No, yeah, it was like uncooked sludge.
Like it's like stuff they got out of the ground in Waco.
Yeah. You
know, they just like.
Yes.
Are there oil fields in Waco?
Why are you making fun of the Wacoese?
The Wacoians?
So I accidentally eat this vegetarian sludge
mm-hmm.
and I swallow it because I read Pope Francis and I know I'm not supposed to waste food.
Yep.
But then I take the rest of it and I throw it in the trash. And then I box the rest of the box back up.
That's so
and
mean.
I just set it back on the vegetarian stand. And I went over and I asked you and I said, where's the other sandwiches? He goes, this is your Italian. These are the turkey. And I went and I grabbed a turkey sandwich and I got out of there.
Nice.
But I put it at the back so nobody who actually needed a vegetarian sure. meal would get it.
Yeah, it just,
I did
it's
the
just,
right thing.
It just mean you did the right thing. You did half the right thing. You did half of the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. I felt bad, but I was gonna eat it. I was like, oh, I just need to toughen up and eat it. But I could mm-hmm. I could barely swallow it. Like
yeah.
I genuinely want to ask someone who works here, who designed this.
I want to ask a vegetarian if that's
you what, like this.
Do you like this?
Yeah.
How do you
eat this right now and smile?
Yeah.
You can't.
That's how I feel about people who golf.
Really?
Yeah. It's like you like this?
You hate golf?
Because everybody who golfs, it seems like they hate it.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like they have a bad time every time.
Yeah. The thing about golf that you don't understand is that you go to hate it.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you have one moment in your whole 3 hours that you don't hate.
Yeah.
And it's such a good feeling.
That's why it's so big with the Irish.
It's like doing heroin. It's like sucks for most of it, but there's a brief moment where you're like, this is the best. And then you do it again.
And the rest of the time, it feels like there's bugs crawling under your skin.
That is actually what golf feels like. Because you're
really?
Outside, you're outside in the grass.
Sure.
And yeah. they're crawling up your pants and stuff. And there's old men yelling at you.
To go faster.
No.
No.
To stop driving the golf cart all willy-nilly. But I have to drive the golf cart all willy-nilly because I hit my ball into the yard that's next to the, you know? Golf is a fun sport. It's the heroin of sports.
It's the heroin of sports.
Yeah. You should try it with me sometime.
One of these days I'll try golf.
Yeah.
I'll be bad at it, but, you know, I'll do it. Just got to work on my swing.
I think it'd
gotta
be great.
Got to do my own thing.
I think it'd be a great YouTube video if you and me went and played golf.
I don't think that'd be as interesting as you think it would.
I think we could, if you chop it up,
okay.
we could have a great time.
Golf, it's like noob versus pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like someone who's never done golf before versus yeah. someone who is a professional golfer. That'd
right.
be fun. No, that wouldn't be very fun.
No, I think just you and me going
there's a
golfing.
Reason why we have like two subscribers on YouTube. But this, I
we
think.
We have 500. We just crossed 500 the other day.
Wow, congrats. They just sent us a plaque.
They should. I sent YouTube a DM on Twitter when we got 100 and I said, can I please have a plaque? And someone on the team responded and said, no, you have to, these are the requirements. And then I responded and I said, but what if you changed the requirements? And then they didn't respond. Which was kind of a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah.
But I do think that being here at the YCP conference in Frisco/Dallas, Texas, is step three.
Yeah.
Not one. Step three on our path to...
Totality?
Yeah. To taking... unimaginable wealth. I think we're close.
You think we're close to
yeah.
unimaginable wealth?
I think we're right around the corner from hitting the big time.
Why?
I just have a feeling. It's in the gut.
I think... Well, you have stopped eating sugar, so that's probably why you're
Yeah, my gut health has been incredible.
You feel that way because you now feel like how your gut is supposed to feel.
Yeah, I have stopped eating fried foods and sugar. And so now I know for a fact that we are going to make millions of dollars pretty soon.
Did you know she's got the book that we're in? If you turn to the acknowledgments page, turn to the acknowledgments page at the very back.
Yep.
It should say at the top on the last page, it said, thanks to the crunch. It's the greatest thing in the world.
It's the best. I love
If you can find it. The page after that. Go one after and then look at the top. It says, thanks to the hosts of the crunch. That's us. We're in the book. Bang.
That's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I mean. It's stuff like that
that indicates
that we are going to make $1 million.
We are on the way.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Monica.
Monica, are you single?
No, I have a boyfriend.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
I'm like, I'm single by the definition of the church.
Yeah.
But look, we're not the church.
Yeah.
You're just holding the dating book, so I didn't know.
Yeah,
if you had
I got
any.
It for a friend who told me she wanted it.
Oh, really? Okay.
But now I'm like scrolling through it, and I'm like, I kind of want to read it, even though like I think I'll benefit from it. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely.
Do you have any questions about your relationship that we can answer as two married men?
I mean, none that we're burning right now.
No, that's
fair enough. We do a dating show in addition to this.
Yeah.
And some people ask why. Why do two married men do a dating show? And the answer is because
we're so much smarter than everyone else.
Oh. So why would we?
I think married people have a certain amount of qualification to talk about dating.
Yeah,
and
the it's like I talk about dating all the time with like my non-married friends.
Yeah,
but like there's a part of it is like, oh, but we haven't. You know, the goal of dating is marriage. We haven't gotten married yet.
Yeah,
so like there's
exactly.
something about people that are married, especially like it's. There's so many differences between how men think and how women think,
yeah.
and we think the other one thinks the same way.
Oh yeah,
no.
So it's like it's hilarious.
Spaghetti and waffle
funny.
Brain.
I hate that.
I know you.
But
do.
It's probably true.
Either of you have a question? Did you have a question? A dating?
Do you
question?
Have a dating what? Question?
It's any question.
Does anyone have a dating question?
She's got the microphone poised. She's
all right,
got something.
So here's a dating question
right,
for you.
Good.
Please, yeah.
So since you're married and you were successful.
Well.
Yes. Well,
thank you.
I mean, you dated successfully
That's true.
To get to the
yeah.
end goal,
it's
right?
Yet, it's yet to be determined, but go
So
on.
What are your, you know, top three tips for guys who are dating?
Wow.
To, like how they're going to reach the end goal?
Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, a part of the show where I'm the doctor of a mind and the surgeon of the heart. Top three tips. I think
you give a tip, I'll give a tip, you give a tip.
Perfect. Number one is take action.
Yes.
I think too many men default to lack of action. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not perfectly thought out, even if you're not sure if it's the right decision, I think taking action is almost always a better choice than not doing anything. There's too much of the discerning, too much of the waiting for her to say something.
Absolutely.
Too much of the like, I think just action generally. Is like, if I could tell them anything, just take action.
Yes. My next tip is communication, but pointed.
Yeah.
We say communication, baby, all the time. Like, it's all about communication. But what I really think is it's not just about communicating. It's about asking questions. Like, guys need to get really good at asking clarifying questions.
What do you mean by that?
Like, when a girl says, I feel this way, you don't respond with, like, that's correct or that's wrong that you feel that way. You should, like, ask questions and clarify the feeling, mm-hmm. the source of the feeling, what she means when she says XYZ,
yeah.
if it's related to you or if it's not. Because sometimes women have feelings that you think are related to you but are actually not, and then you make it about you, and then that's a problem.
Yes.
I've heard. and so that's my tip, is like ask really good questions. What's your third tip?
I don't know. I was listening to you the whole time, so I wasn't thinking of my third
thing. Rookie podcaster
I know.
Listening.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Maybe that's the third tip.
Yeah, listening. Asking good questions. Listening is actually another big one.
Yeah.
Probably mine would be for guys. Guys get so in their head. And this is kind of like action, but it's like you just got to get out of your own head.
Mm.
So if you just find yourself spiraling and thinking about this one girl and thinking about how you're going to get married and thinking about how your life is going to look like this, that's just a recipe to get completely and utterly destroyed. And so the more you can get out of your head with good friendships, with prayer, by just having hobbies and things to do, man, I think when you can see it, you can tell when a guy is just like spun up in his own fantasy. And it's not even like a pornographic fantasy. It's just like a fantasy of this is how married life will be. It's like you need to be friends with a dude that's older than you and married, because I will let you know that being married is not what you think it is.
Yes.
It's hard and sad a lot of times. But it's also great.
Yes.
But mostly I don't sleep because I have a child.
Yep.
You know? So, like, you think it's going to be this beautiful, oh, we love each other and all these things. Like, nah, you're getting up at 3 a.m. to take care of a baby that doesn't even like you. You know? So I think having good friends and good community to help you get out of your head would be my third tip.
All right. That's huge.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. That's a great question.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
I realize that I actually have a question.
Please.
Not about my relationship, but about just dating in general. Because this is something that I'm like, if I got a dollar for every time me and my, you know, girlfriends talked about this, I would be so rich. Mm-hmm. Anyways, dropping hankies. So it's like we know that we want to, like, we want to let the man pursue, right?
Yeah.
Like, we want the man to pursue us. We don't want to come off, like, too forward, I don't know, but we also recognize that, at least, you know, if you talk to guys, like, it's a lot more terrifying to approach a woman than we think it is, because on our end, it's like,
yeah, I'm just Monica,
simple,
you know?
Yeah. It looks simple
women,
from our end.
Women are just casually the pinnacle of creation, and they don't even think about that.
I talk to my wife about that sometimes, like, you just walk around beautiful.
You realize you're
like,
just,
you don't understand.
You are God was done with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, from our end, it looks so simple. And we think we're so obvious when we drop hankies, like, make it known that we're interested.
Yeah.
And, like, I've had multiple, like, guy friends tell me, like, you have to explicitly say, I like you, or I'm interested in you. Or if you asked me on a date, I would say yes, or something like that. That's the only way to actually drop a hanky in a way that we'd actually pick up on it, because we just assume nobody likes us kind of thing.
Yes.
There's something in me when I hear that feels like that's making the first move. That's overstepping the boundary as far as, like, you know, stepping into the man's space kind of thing, like the man's role, I guess, in that. And what would you say to that? Because I'll give you
a line.
I really don't.
This is
a great question. It's a really good question.
Take this back to your clan. And
Ethan, or I'll just send him this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, even better. This is great.
She's a marketer. That's what she is. Ethan has this line that's incredible. That's like, he says to every woman, if you want a guy to ask you out and you're not sure if he likes you, ask the question, hey, are you going to ask me out anytime soon, or should I move on? And it puts the ball in his court. It makes your intentions clear. Obviously, you have to say yes if he asks you. Like, that's just
that would be crazy.
It would be.
Are you going to ask me out anytime soon? He asked her out. No.
Yeah. But no. But, like, you also you have to understand that no matter what you do as a woman, a guy will always be in his head, like, maybe she doesn't like me. My wife has had 2 children with me, and I'm still like, I don't know. She might just be really friendly.
Yeah.
You know. And so it's like, you got to understand that's
she
where
could
guys
be
are at.
A deep state agent getting close to me for the American citizenship.
She wasn't Phoebe Johnson. She was actually Phoebe Johnsonovich.
Yes.
And she's a Russian spy.
Yes. And one day the accent's gonna come out when she's
like,
on the phone and she doesn't know that you're home, and she's like, yes, I have done it.
Yes, I have done it.
Anyway, yeah, I think here's the thing. It's not church teaching that guys have to make the first move.
Yeah.
It's a good thing generally.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, like, man ought to pursue the woman out of a place of desire. But that's not like an individual moment in time. It's not like the man has to, like, pursuit of the woman consists in asking her out the first time and then asking her to be his girlfriend. And then it's like those distinct moments, and then asking to get engaged, and then, you know, being married. It's like, it's a whole relationship-wide thing. And so it's okay, actually, for a woman to try and, like, get the ball rolling, you know? Because ultimately, it is up to the man to pursue. But if you kind of start it and ask that question or another question, and then if he picks it up and runs with it, then it's not the worst thing in the world. Because it's his, and if he doesn't pursue you throughout the relationship, then break up with him. He's stupid.
Yeah.
You know? But I think...
And because the...
It's good for women to flirt. They used to do this in the 50s. They used to come up and say, hey there, big boy. Why don't you take me to the sock hop? Take me to the sock hop.
Let's get a soda at the soda fountain.
Yeah. And it was great. And guys were like, okay. I just got back from World War II.
I just got back from World War II. I've seen things that would destroy... I've seen things that I will put...
I have undiagnosed PTSD, so I will do what you say now. Thank you.
Because, like, if you want to do a theology of the body, like, here's what men and women are, like, that kind of thing. A professor in college said this to me. She's like a John Paul II expert or whatever. And she was like, we say that men are supposed to initiate, and that's true, because, like, that's how we're built. But, like, in the garden, Eve is presented to Adam.
Ah.
Like, she's presented to him. And so there is an element in relationships where, like, the beauty is actually the thing that kicks off the relationship. Like, Adam doesn't go up to Eve. Like, she's kind of just standing there. God presents him or to him. And so, like,
Eve makes the first move because she's like, I took your bones.
It's like, it's the first move in a manner of speaking. It's, yeah, like, it's an open, like, open reception. Like, you can't pursue something that's, if you think about, like, you think about bees.
The Bitcoin ATM guy is here.
Hey!
I talked about you on the podcast.
If you think about, like, the way that a bee and a flower, it's like a bee can't pollinate a flower that's closed. You know, like, you can't.
I don't know about physiology.
Like, you can't pursue something that's closed off. And so, like,
right,
implying that it's important for a woman to imply that she's open to a man. That's not making the first move. You can still retain your femininity and do that. You know.
Yeah.
But don't give him too much. He doesn't deserve it. You know.
You have a question?
Yeah, I have a follow-up question to that.
Yeah, please. Sure.
I mean,
welcome
I
Oliver to the podcast.
Oliver.
Thank you. Everybody, give everybody. Oliver a round of applause. Yeah. Give everyone a round of applause, actually. We have a lot of good questions.
Yeah, a lot of good questions.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. Everyone just clap.
People love clapping.
They do like to clap.
Yeah, I love the pod. And I,
thanks.
Man, so, like, what she asked, I mean, you answered the same question kind of over and over. And it's, and in my head, it seems like you're asking, people are asking the same questions,
yeah,
and you're giving them the same answer.
And we're making a living off of it. Bro.
Right, it's great.
Incorrect.
Capitalism. We are making a
But isn't
surviving.
There a kind of deeper problem to the situation, I guess, or to the question? Isn't it like the lack of formation in men now that is causing these things? So I went to college seminary for 2 years, and
nice,
thanks be to God for that, because that made me a substantially better man.
Amen.
Than the 4 years in college that I took. So,
yeah,
when I got out, I saw, like, my formation that I received was some of the best, right? And thanks be to God for that. So my goal, at least in my head, and what I really desire is to bring that to other men, because,
oh yeah,
there's just, like, a big lack in that. One thing that I've seen is the lack of community and, like, fraternity, as mm-hmm, you can say, or brotherhood.
Yeah.
And what are some, like, practical, I guess, some tips to bring that in together? Because it's really hard to get college men all in one group.
I would, actually, unfortunately, it's the easiest time to get men in one group is,
right,
when they're
but
in college.
What are some things?
It
so,
gets
like,
harder.
Yeah.
the greatest miracle Jesus ever performed besides the resurrection,
uh-huh,
was having 12 close friends in his 30s. That's
nice,
the hardest. Thank you.
It's a great line.
Yeah.
You should say that in a keynote at a Catholic conference.
Shoot me. I think that I think you're right on the money with, like, a problem. And I think that the unfortunate reality, and it's kind of a cop out in terms of an answer, there's no grand scale solution to men don't have community. The solution is that, like, we need to create the things that we desire. That's what masculinity is very creative. Like, it's tilling the soil. And unfortunately, right, it's like, man, this ground doesn't bring forth grain as easy as it should. Yeah, that's the point. Like, the grain is the ground is cursed now. Like, with sweat and toil, you will eat your bread.
Not
that's
me.
What Genesis said. And so, like, men have to work against the stream, the current of society, to, like, bring forth fruitful communities and relationships. And so, like, each man is responsible for tilling his section of the garden,
yeah,
and finding those brotherhood communities. Like, you can't We can't do brotherhood at scale, you know? We can't be like, oh, we have brotherhood for everybody now. We have,
yeah,
to, like, each man has to take it on himself and take the initiative.
As good as Exodus 90 is, you can't, like, extrapolate masculinity,
yeah,
through an app to millions of people.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
Because each Exodus fraternity is dependent on the commitment of those fraternities to each other.
Right. Before,
you know,
Exodus 90, guys just went to war together, and they would kill a Swedish man. And they were like, we're bonded now.
I think
for
the
life.
Swedes were pretty neutral. I don't think anybody killed
Sorry,
them.
Pick another race. For
that
me.
Was the Swiss. The Swedes, it's not a race.
Swedish is a race.
Is it?
Yeah. It's racist of you to not think that.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
I would kill a guy.
Yeah.
And we would do it together.
And we would bond.
And
over
then we'd
that.
Be bond, and then we would talk to our sons. And there's just nothing like that that exists. This is why I like the movie Ford versus Ferrari, because there's a bunch of men.
Brotherhood
working
used
on a car.
To be, brotherhood used to be like you and another guy fought in a war.
Yeah.
And then you gave him your watch.
Yes.
And he kept it
in his butt.
In his butt and gave it to his. How many of you have seen Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, not enough people.
Not enough people have seen Pulp Fiction.
It's difficult to prescribe a solution to the problem of masculinity and,
yeah,
femininity at scale, because the only solution is good fathers and good mothers raising healthy children alongside other good mothers and good fathers raising healthy children and then forming community out of that.
Yeah,
like, that's really the only, like, actionable thing that you can do.
Yeah.
Until you're an adult, and then it's like you can disciple people and evangelize them and form them yourself.
Yeah.
And then teach them to disciple other people. Like, that's, there's no, like, we're not, there's no Father Mike Schmitz video that's going to, as much as I wish that there was, maybe our podcast could
maybe
solve
our
it.
Yeah. The solution that I'm doing is I moved back to my hometown with a bunch of friends that I knew were faithful Catholics from high school, and we all had kids, and we're making them all hang out, and we're not going to let them...
The solution that I picked is I moved to a town with a right next door to one family and right down the street from another family, and all of our kids are getting raised together. So, like, I'm just doing as much as I can with three or four other people.
Yeah.
So the solution is to just have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The solution is to be virtuous and to live out your vocation. If you do that, it's curtains for Satan and his ilk.
That's definitely easy, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the solution is actually that.
Is there, are we just doing more questions?
Yeah, so we do a dating podcast, for those of you who are listening. We do a dating podcast once a week where we answer questions. And
Chris,
we would like to answer.
Chris!
Someone just...
Hey, I'm on the podcast. Yeah. Okay, yeah, sounds good. See you later.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the guy that does Harrison Butker's tailoring.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We should definitely have him on the podcast.
I wonder what he thinks of my jacket.
He probably likes it.
He probably likes it.
I was going to have him evaluate you.
Yeah, because
I was like, Chris, tell me what you think.
Tell me what you think about my man's jacket.
It was going to be pretty funny.
Yeah. He better like it. Again, it was very expensive. Yeah. I hope it was a good investment.
I don't think you should view clothing as an investment.
Yeah, it's not
going to appreciate in value.
Okay.
You bought a car.
You understand
you've
what I mean.
You've driven it off the lot. Yeah, I get you. I know what you're saying.
I hope it was a good purchase.
This is good.
Okay. I think we're done with dating questions.
Yeah, unless
for
someone
now.
Else has a question that's here.
That was fun though. That was pretty.
That was good.
If you're listening to the show and your friend has never listened to a dating podcast, send them this episode because that was pretty.
That was
pretty coverage of what
like
we talk about.
I feel like we did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
General advice.
Should we have the Bitcoin ATM guy on to defend himself?
No. No. There's no
there's
right
no coming
of. There's
back.
No. There's no due process on this
you
podcast.
No, it's all executed. Chris, do you want to say something? Come out here. Grab
hey,
the microphone.
Chris.
This is Chris. I met him this weekend.
Thank you, Houston, for doing our for changing the cameras so that we can interview.
Speak
people.
Into the microphone. Introduce
hey,
yourself.
I can't hear you guys.
You can't hear
you
us
can't?
At
oh,
all.
Now I can.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys.
Say hello. This is Chris. I met you this weekend.
That's right.
Tell them a little bit about what you do. This is some free pub, so go for it.
Awesome. Yeah. My name is Chris Cottrell. I'm one of the co-founders of Shepherds. We're a custom made-to-measure menswear brand based in Kansas City, co-founded by Harrison Butker, who's the keynote speaker tonight, and a great Catholic guy.
Maybe we should go to the keynote.
We should go to the keynote.
We were not planning on going.
We'll go to the
We weren't planning on going to the keynote.
You should go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just going to keep doing this for the next 2 hours.
You would look better if you were wearing Shepherds.
Whoa!
Chris, what do you think of my jacket?
Yeah, we need you. Can you stand up and just kind of do... Because I've been roasting him for this. Be honest,
you look good.
Chris.
It's a good color for you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
I would make some adjustments on the fit, but it looks nice.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, the lucky for me, this was off the rack, but it was purchased at a store where they will do adjustments. So I will get adjustments done.
Please do.
Yeah. Okay. Please.
Please help us out.
It looks awful. That's helpful. Great. Thank you. Ethan said he didn't like it, but everyone else who I've talked to liked it.
I've been joking. I was just giving you a hard time, man. I wanted to hear what Chris said first before I decided that I liked it.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
You should come back on the show another time. We'll talk more in depth.
Sounds good.
Yes, but I just wanted to make sure that the people knew about your thing.
Now, people don't have to be in Kansas City to
No, we can do remote fittings. You can find us at Wear Shepherds, WEAR. Shepherds, SHEPHERDS .com.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And then you can purchase clothing from Shepherds.
Perfect. Thank
Not
you.
Not sponsored, but just
promoted. Not sponsored, but this is just a cool guy that I met. And we're also at the FIO booth, and we're also at the Young Catholic Professionals Conference.
And I'm Patrick.
And I'm Ethan. How much time? What time are we at?
Hey, Will, what time are we at?
What's our time? 5-10 minutes?
Oh, wow. Oh, time flies when you're podcasting. This has been my favorite part of the conference.
James, that's the guy.
I changed what I said. My favorite part of the conference has been this.
This
podcasting.
Has been really fun.
Actually, the bonus podcast.
The bonus podcast was awesome.
So good. It was off the charts.
We had the most electric bonus show we've ever had.
We might release it on the main feed so good.
I think we just give it to patrons first for like a week, and then we say like, guys,
we gotta
this
put
is
it
too
out.
Good. To
it was
not
so
put out.
Funny.
I was wearing a bathrobe.
And then my least favorite part of the
Patrick
weekend
Patrick made
been,
me king of the hotel.
Yeah. I actually gave him the keys. He's now Mr. Yeah. Omni. So
yeah. There's no way we can recreate the brilliance of the Lou Gehrig bit, but it was
I'm so mad we weren't recording for that
part.
That
was really funny.
That was so good.
We met a guy whose name was, no joke, Mike Alzheimer. And so, as you can imagine...
And I said, that's a name you're not going to forget.
Which is pretty funny.
Thank you.
And then I was like, what if we had a different last name of like a less threatening but more funny disease?
And I said, Lou Gehrig's disease?
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Which is not less threatening than Alzheimer's.
So then, like, we thought of a guy named John Lou Gehrig, and then the baseball player Lou Gehrig accidentally got
Lou Gehrig's
disease as a coincidence. It was quite a moment.
I'm glad that you guys were here for the replay of the bit. But
anyway.
Hello. Did you get a picture with me with my mouth open or closed? Because I look weird with my mouth. You can't hear what I'm saying, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, you can? Hey! Someone was taking a picture of me, and I was like, just give him a good set.
What do you want to accomplish tonight before we... Because there's a lot left. There's Harrison Butker.
Yeah.
There's the gala, which I've been saying gala, but people say gala.
Yeah.
Which frustrates
gala.
Me.
Gala.
I say gala. And then we have the drink, the bar.
The drink. little drink.
And we have extra drink tickets.
We do. Don't tell people that.
If anyone has a drink ticket, they're not going to use.
Give it to me.
But what are you looking forward to tonight? Do you want to dance?
No.
Do you want to hang out with the Tampa guys?
Do
you guys
Tampa boys?
Smoke cigarettes? Do you smoke cigarettes?
Do you smoke cigarettes? You're from Tampa.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
You're from Tampa, so you just smoke cigarettes? Or do you smoke meth?
You don't smoke cigarettes?
Oh.
Cigars. You smoke cigars?
Very fancy.
I was really hoping that the Tampa guys would smoke cigarettes with us tonight.
We can do cigars.
We can do cigars.
We can find cigars.
Surely. It's crazy that there's no cigar salesman.
Right?
My buddy JJ should have come with his cigar
company. With the Incensium cigar. Yeah. Incensium? I hardly know him.
All right.
There you go. No, I'm excited. I'm excited to hang out with you.
Yeah.
I'm excited to meet people.
Yeah. Do you think we could meet Harrison Butker? Do you think there's a way in
I don't which think so.
We can use Chris, we can leverage Chris into a quickie... Sorry, into it.
I think, I do want to get Harrison on the podcast for one reason and one reason only is that if I could say that, it's like between the three of us, we have three Super Bowl rings.
That's funny.
That's just a funny joke.
What do you think? Do you think he's a fun guy?
He seems fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think I have much else. I think I'm getting a little hot under the lights.
Oh,
I'm starting to perspire.
Oh, I'm not.
So I think everybody, you should go to do a few different things. Number one, download the FIO app. The FIO app is a Catholic, I don't know if you can see that sign, but it's a Catholic podcast app and a Catholic audio streaming app. They've got music on there. They've got podcasts. We've been working with them this whole weekend. That's why we're here.
Yep.
So make sure you download the FIO app and listen to our show on the app because it's a guarantee that you're supporting Catholic business owners.
Our podcast sounds better on the
Spotify
FIO app.
Is owned by Woke and we will not allow our
you
podcast.
You cannot podcast anymore because of Woke.
Because of Woke. They won't let you say any jokes anymore because of Woke.
Yeah.
And so FIO doesn't care about that.
You can't make jokes about, I can't even say it because we're on Spotify.
So download the FIO app, use code CRUNCH. I don't know if we have a code.
Go to thecrunchcast.com/FIO, that's FIO, and it'll send you to the...
Do we have that? Is that real?
I'm going to set it up right now, and then we'll track it, and you'll see how good we are.
go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, join our Discord community, where we have thousand people in there talking about the faith and talking about our podcast. And you can go to patreon.com/thecrunch to hear our bonus show.
Yeah, and then Venmo me $2.
Why?
I don't know. You were saying so many calls to action, I might as well get on the action.
Are you making fun of me?
Yep.
It's the end of the show.
I know. One call to action.
Here's my one call to action. Download FIO. Go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Patreon.com/thecrunch.
Great.
All right.
Patrick.
Patrick, you got anything else for the people?
Thank you to FIO for bringing us to this amazing conference. Go download FIO.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time. Catch you later.
Thank you, guys. That was very fun.
Woo! I'm a little sweaty.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.